Right now, it is time for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven. Arthur, of course, joins us on a Monday morning, and we talk FOOD. Good morning, Arthur.
We're going to be talking P-I-C-K-L-E-S.
Uh-oh, we're in a pickle.
You know, is an old Yiddish saying, you want a green vegetable, eat a pickle.
That's it.
So, it is pickle season. What do I mean by that is that this is the time of the year, prime time, that my grandfather made his famous, what we now call kosher dill pickles. We didn't call them kosher, they were just pickles. And the kind of pickles, by the way, my grandfather was at one time in his life a commercial pickle maker. He also made coleslaw and potato salad and he sold these items to bars and grills. This is, I would say, in the 1930s during the Depression, because he lost his business in 29 with the crash. So then he had to go on a push cart. But at the end of his life, he didn't do that for a living, but he did do it for his friends and family, and, of course, being the grandson who was interested in doing stuff with the grandfather, I was always given menial jobs in his kitchen. I say his kitchen, not my grandmother's kitchen, because even though my grandmother in my lifetime was a very good cook, if you said, oh, Grandma, this is so good, she says, I couldn't even boil an egg until I met your grandfather. Actually, she said burl an egg because she had a heavy Brooklyn, old-fashioned Brooklyn, toity-toity-toity accent. Burl, Earl. Anyway, Barney made pickles. And distinct memories for me of making pickles with my grandfather. And this is the time of the year that we usually made them, because in those days, almost all the cucumbers that we used, the Kirby's, little firm, crisp cucumbers, were grown on Long Island. And as a man I once interviewed years and years ago said, there is no more Long Island. Meaning, no more cabbage, no more potatoes, no more vegetables, just a lot of wine and rich people's houses. So the potato fields are now covered with McMansions. So anyway, back to pickles. The kind of pickles Barney made were pickled, the cucumbers, pickled by something called lactic fermentation. Little story. Lactic fermentation is now a very trendy young generation food item. I will tell you that the most famous of all the lactically fermented vegetables is kimchi, the Korean kimchi. And Korean food, at least in the East Coast here, around New York, is very, very, well, I should say David Chang, who's Korean also, helped popularize Korean fusion food. But kimchi is a big deal thing in the Korean community. And I have a Korean family who lives near me here and has two stores, what we used to call Korean grocers. I'm not sure that that's considered PC to say that anymore. Although a Korean friend of mine said, well, I call it the Korean grocer. So my Korean grocer, who's now a third generation Korean grocer, young man and his wife and kid are running the places now. His grandma started making kimchi for the store. I remember when grandma made it. And then his mother, Sandy, she made it for a while, but Sandy is too American already to want to sit home and make kimchi and dumplings. So they have somebody else doing it for them. But it's a homemade kind of kimchi, and they have an array of vegetables. And the other day I bought a jar of cucumber kimchi, which I haven't opened yet, but I'm going to. Anyway, my grandfather's pickles were made with lactic fermentation, which is just what happens, what bacteria take over the vegetable and start, let's just say, consuming the sugars in the vegetable and creating fermentation. You will get little bubbles, you'll see. After a few days, you'll get bubbles in your pickles. The hardest thing about making pickles is finding good cucumbers, I have to say. So now that there's no more Long Island, most of the pickles that the Kirby cucumbers that you will see in the supermarket come from North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia. I can buy them, however, at my farmer's market, and I'm sure all over the Connecticut, and the farmers all grow some kind of good pickle, cucumbers. And I can do more with cucumbers than just make pickles, but what you want are no bigger than 6 inches. Well, even 6 inches is too much. I'd say 4 inches. No bigger than 4 inches. Very firm. You should taste one before you decide to pickle them, because they should not be bitter. Sometimes cucumbers, depending where they're grown, how they're grown, can be bitter, and you don't want to make pickles out of bitter cucumbers. You want to make them out of fresh, snappy, but and not bitter cucumbers, even sweet cucumbers. I can buy cucumbers at my farmer's market here in Brooklyn. In fact, I now discovered they're gone by midday because other people have discovered these are the best cucumbers ever. So, you know, get your best cucumbers, not too big, and wash them well, and then you have to make a brine. So the brine is, this is for, to make at least three quart jars, I should say, of pickles, 6 pint jars. Perhaps you could get a gallon out of this. But this is my formula for the brine. 1 gallon of water, that's 4 quarts of water, and 3/4 of a cup of kosher salt. Now, everybody should know kosher salt is not something that is kosher. It's something that's used to kosher, to basically salt down primal cuts of meat and poultry. That's why it's called kosher salt. But it's a pure salt, and you don't want to use table salt, and even sea salt, for this brine. You want pure salt. You don't want iodized salt. And, you know, the reason I don't use sea salt, that's a mineralized salt. You can buy something called pickling salt. If you see that in the supermarket, that's good salt for making pickles. So 1 gallon of water, 3/4 of a cup of pure salt, put it in a big pot, bring it to a boil, stirring it, and when it's clear, all the salt is dissolved, just let it cool to room temperature. That's your brine. You scrub the pickles. Now, you want to fill your jars tightly. And this was my job as a kid, was my grandfather taught me how to, like, you put the jar on its side, and you stuff the pickles in one layer, and then you keep layering them. And then at some point, you can tilt the jar up straight, and then you can put more pickles in. And that, on top of those, either vertically or sometimes even stick one or two in horizontally, excuse me. And I have to say that this always brings back memories, not just of my grandfather teaching me how to do this, but there used to be, well, there still is, a great old-fashioned pickle store in New York called, well, it used to be Gus. That was even a misnomer. It was originally Gus and Hollander, but even that was not the name. Saul Kaplan was the name of the man who owned the place. And then later on, somebody else owned it. But one of the men who learned his trade at Gus opened here in Brooklyn, and he has a store in, he's closed in Brooklyn. I don't know why. It's in Midwood section of Brooklyn. I used to take my little Brooklyn tour groups to this store. Everybody got a kick out of seeing all the barrels filled with all different kinds of vegetables being pickled, either by lactic fermentation or some of them with vinegar. And at the point that he was open here in Brooklyn, the pickle guy, he liked to be called the pickle guy. The pickle guy, huh. I'm forgetting his name too. So the pickle guy, and I did know him very well, he always greeted me warmly when I came in the store, and he gave tastes to all my tour people. He had all kinds of pickles for different ethnic groups, and I don't even know what some ethnic groups are eating, and they're not just Jewish ethnic groups. Although the Jewish ethnic groups were well represented, and one of the things I did buy there was the very very Middle Eastern Sephardic Jewish only, not only, but Middle Eastern in general, pickled turnips with colored red with beets. There's a pickled beet in there somewhere, too. Anyway, so you've now packed your Kirby cucumbers, let's say 3 or 4 inch long Kirby cucumbers, into your jars, making sure they're tightly packed. Don't squash any. Don't damage any. But you don't want them to flip around when you fill it. You're going to put into each jar, let's say this is going to be 3 1-quart jars, put into each jar, 2 teaspoons of mixed pickling spices you can buy in the supermarket, 2 extra bay leaves. If you like spicy pickles, and I sometimes do and sometimes don't, put in 1 or 2 hot dried peppers. Barney would put in maybe a half of a dried pepper, literally break it in half. And now the dill. And these days, if I was doing it again, I would put dill at the bottom of the jar before I stuffed the pickles in. I don't remember doing that with my grandfather. But what we did do was we put a lot of dill that has already sort of gone to green seed, meaning the blooms are long gone. It's not the leaves so much that we're interested in as the green stems and green seeds, and stuff a bunch of that into each jar. And what you do on the top, and garlic, several cloves of garlic. I don't peel it. I smash it lightly just to get it available to the pickling. By the way, I do like the pickled garlic. Some people throw it away. If you go to Brighton Beach, to the Russian stores, Russian, Ukrainian, other Eastern Europeans who shop there, you'll find, and also Central Asians, you'll find pickled garlic sold just for its own sake. I had one for years just as a curiosity. I used to show it off. Never ate any of it because I couldn't get the jar open. In any case, moving on here, you can put some garlic in there. You make, with the stems of the dill, make a cross on top of each jar to keep everything submerged, and then pour in your brine, which is now cooled to room temperature. Now, my grandfather would put his jars, and he had many gallon jars, in a walk-in pantry that they had in their house that probably was built in the early 20s, good building period in Brooklyn. That whole neighborhood got built up in the early 20s to mid-20s. 1926, Brooklyn had more housing starts than anywhere in the country. My father grew up in that house. He was born in, but they didn't live there at first. So anyway, it was a house built in the 20s, and it had this wonderful kitchen. I have a picture of the kitchen, and a walk-in pantry. And so the jars would be in the dark in the walk-in pantry. I do recall, however, that he sometimes put jars out into the hallway, I guess when he had a large crop. And the hallway had a skylight. It was on the second floor of this hallway. And there was a skylight over it. So it wasn't direct light. I don't ever recall it being sunny in the hallway, but it did have good light all the time. And if you put the pickles in a room that has, I would not recommend a sunny room, although I have read recipes that say, oh, put it in the sun. I did that once. It was horrible. Besides that, they get done too fast. You don't want to do it. Mine came out bitter. So I would do it in the dark, the way Barney did, or in, a well-lit but not bright room. And you can top it with a cheesecloth. You are going to get bubbles and some kind of stinky fermentation out of these jars. Some people just put the lid on, but very loosely. If you see any pressure on the lids, you better take it off. You are going to get, gas coming off of this. So cheesecloth with a rubber band is always a good deal. Or a saucer over the top. It depends on the size of your jars, too. what you want to do. But in any case, don't totally seal it at first. Now, after about 3 days, you should be getting cloudy, bubbly water. And after maybe 4 days, your pickles will be what we used to call new pickles, green pickles. And when you went to, and still, if you go to the pickle guys, I'm sure you can buy green. And even in my supermarket, Batamte, which, by the way, has its pickle caves or whatever here in Brooklyn, it makes a pretty good pickle. Not my ideal pickle, but anyway, they you can buy them as new, half-sour, and full-sour. For a full-sour pickle, you're going to need about a week. 6 days, even to 10 days, depends how the temperature they're at, depends on the light they get. And then when they get to the point that you want, they're going to continue to pickle. But if you put them in the refrigerator, they'll pickle way more slowly and keep their stage of pickling for a longer time. So I know, because we couldn't always get there the day they were ready, that my grandfather, because my father liked new pickles, he liked new and half sours, my grandfather would in fact refrigerate them after 3 or 4 days, just after they start, you know, getting a little bit gray and pickled looking, but not even gray, just until you start seeing some bubbles in the jar, and they'll be green pickles. And if you put them in the fridge, they'll be good green pickles at least for, I don't know, 5 days, until my father could get there to pick them up. And then we ate pickles with everything, you know, once my grandfather sent us pickles. We also ate his coleslaw all the time. And Mr. Harnett here has a new picadillo. He doesn't like super crunchy coleslaw.
What?
So, you know, no. And he also likes, for my taste, too mayonnaise-y a coleslaw. So he doesn't like my coleslaw anymore. And we've been buying coleslaw in two places where he does like the coleslaw, and depends on where we're shopping. And I was okay with that for a while, but really, thinking about my grandfather and his rock and rye a couple of weeks ago, we talked about that on the air, and now his pickles, I was thinking this week, you know, he used to make a chopped coleslaw. It wasn't in long shreds. And maybe, because I like fresh coleslaw. And in fact, I bought a cabbage the other day, and I did half of it. I did something else. And I had this half that I wanted to do something else with. And I said, you know, I'm going to try. It was very sweet. I had already eaten a piece raw. It was a very sweet cabbage. I'm going to make coleslaw with this. So I did a chopped coleslaw. But I didn't, for whatever reasons, want to go to the store and buy other things that I would normally put in coleslaw, like carrot or even green pepper. My grandfather always used celery seed, and I had no celery seed. I could have sworn I did, but I think I gave up on celery seed a few years ago. Anyway, I'm going to buy some celery seed now. And I understand that celery seed has some good medicinal value. I have to look that up. But somebody told me that the other day, oh, you should definitely put celery seed in the coleslaw because it's medicinal. So I made a chopped coleslaw with mayonnaise that I doctored up a little bit with apple cider vinegar and a dash of Worcestershire. And what else did I put in there? Oh, I did put in, that was sort of it. And then I didn't know what to do because I didn't want to go to the store, but I did have avocado and tomato in the house, which I could have done other things with. I thought, you know, that's not a bad combination. And avocado adds a creaminess to anything that I knew that Mr. Harnett was going to like. And the tomato jazzed it up a bit, and they were good tomatoes, too. And that turned out to be, I thought, an excellent salad that I could not stop eating. So I used for about a cup of mayonnaise. This is a half of a 3-pound head of cabbage. I cut it as into shreds, as small as I could with my knife, and then I turned it around 90 degrees and cut it the other way, and I ended up with a nice dice of cabbage. If I was adding carrot, which of course would give it a nice color if nothing else, I would have just grated that in. Same with a green pepper, perhaps. But I just used three what they call cocktail tomatoes. I diced those, and one large avocado, which I also diced. So we're eating a lot of avocado lately. And I've learned this is a good technique to make diced avocado. Even if you're doing guacamole, this is a good technique. While you know how to halve the avocado and get the seed out. Now you have two halves of an avocado. Take the point of a good sharp knife and make a grid pattern into the avocado, holding it still in the skin. Then take a teaspoon and scoop out the avocado, getting the spoon as close to the shell as possible, which is actually all the way to the shell, and scoop it all out, and now you have diced avocado, big chunks of avocado. If you like a mushy guacamole or other kind of avocado salad, you can mush it up more. But I don't like that. I like it more chunky. So I feel just in the mixing of the avocado with other things, it sort of gets mushed enough. So I put the one diced avocado in, three cocktail tomatoes, or one medium regular tomato, diced up, and it was really terrific. I needed a little salt and pepper, and I think I ended up putting in just another, I don't know, for a cup of mayonnaise, I used like 3 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, and maybe I put another dash in at the end, just a dash or two of Worcestershire, and that was it.
It's interesting because I like pickles, and up here we have in Falls Village, Adama, and they grow pickles and make them here. They're the best pickles I ever had. They make half sour and garlic, and then they are just, and they sell out. You're rare if you can get them. But then there are two other types of pickles that are pretty good in the stores. Batempi?
Batempi.
Yeah, Batempi. Their half sours are great. And
yeah,
also,
they are.
Yeah, and Bubby's.
They're here in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and Bubby's is not that bad either.
I've had them. They're okay. Yeah. No, there's some good pickles out there, actually. Yeah. There's no need to make pickles. Did I tell the story about the Culinary Institute kid just now? I don't think so.
No.
I hope not, because I'm going to tell it again. There was when we had the cooking school in Italy at Celiano, Azienda Celiano, Cecilia's water buffalo farm. She would get twice a year a group of students, graduate students from the Culinary Institute of America, and right here in New York. And excuse me. And I'm having lunch with a group of these students, with like 20, 25 kids. One day, they all were taking this sort of graduate tour of Italy, and this was the last stop. And so I said, oh, well, now that you're going home and you have this degree, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do when you get back? And a boy sitting near me says, well, I'm going to make pickles. I said, you're going to make... I was dazzled. He said, oh, yeah, I'm going to learn more about lactic fermentation and become a pickle maker. I said, Do your parents know they just spent $80,000 for an education and you're going to be a pickle maker? What can I say?
Hey, what the heck, you know? But, yeah, in coleslaw, you're right. There used to be a place in Torrington called Tony's Restaurant. It's still there, but it's not owned by the Misikowskis, or Polish brothers owned it. Their coleslaw was simply the best in the world.
Oh.
And they
chopped or shredded?
Chopped. But it had a Swedish kind of flavor to it, not a lot of mayonnaise. It was simply the best. I've never had anything like it.
Well, I do have trouble with sweet coleslaw. We never put sugar in our coleslaw. My grandmother, Barney's wife, Rose, my grandmother Rose, when she became diabetic in her mid-late years, stopped putting sugar in her, she didn't call it pickled cucumbers. It was cucumber salad, and I still make this all the time, and I make it without any sugar. But, you know, it's nothing but half water, half vinegar, sliced cucumber, a tiny sliced onion. I do all the slicing on a mandolin. It's wonderful, fun. And that's it, salt. And you let it stand for a few hours, and then you eat it. But anyway, she switched to sweet and low when she became diabetic. It was awful.
Oh, God.
It creates a very metallic aftertaste.
Oh, sweet and low.
Just leave out the sugar. But anyway, you just reminded me, I have lately, all right, this is a confession, this is a guilty pleasure. I have recently had both KFC and Popeye's chicken, and with those orders of chicken, I had their coleslaws. And the KFC was not, the chicken was good, but not nearly as good as Popeye's, yeah. My opinion. And the coleslaw at KFC was way too sweet for me.
Terrible.
Way too sweet. So if you like sweet coleslaw, you probably love KFC's coleslaw.
No, their coleslaw is terrible.
Okay, good. I'm glad you agree. And Popeye's, have you had Popeye's coleslaw?
I haven't had it recently, but I think Popeye's chicken and their coleslaw, to me, it doesn't taste like fast food. It's great. It's great stuff.
I agree. I mean, really, I don't know what Popeye's does, but it is, and also, it totally also depends on the franchise that you go to. And I have had KFC that is, we throw away because it was so old and greasy. The order that we got the other day by going through the drive-thru was very good. It was good KFC. And I had the KFC first. And then several days later had the, as you can see, I'm on a fried chicken kick. I've also made fried chicken lately. I get into these impossible cravings.
Yeah. same thing. I go through, yeah, absolutely. All right.
I just want to add, if you want to make pickled green tomatoes, which is a real Jewish deli thing, you do exactly what I said. For the pickles, making the brine, blah, blah. The only difference is you have to prick the tomatoes with just a tiny bit with the point of a knife before you put them in the jar, and don't squish them in too much.
All right.
I love pickled green tomatoes, but I think that's maybe for later in the season when you have green tomatoes, you want to do something with them before the frost.
Absolutely.
And also the stunted ones are the best ones.
The tomato season is way too short.
It is.
Yeah,
I bought, you know, very good tomatoes recently from Mexico. but I have not seen... Yeah, I did buy some good tomatoes, actually, at the farmer's market. We have a new family at the farmer's market. They're from South Jersey. I think they're Filipino. And... they're growing some very, very nice vegetables.
Right.
And not charging the prices that I told you I'm dismayed at the farmer's market, because their prices are often higher than they are at an even fancy supermarket, right, around here. And that's already pretty high. And I don't understand, because they're selling direct to the customer, no middleman getting any money, why it should be higher. Somebody proposed to me that the booths that they have at the market cost a lot, but they can't cost that much. I have to look that up.
All right.
All right. Well, anyway, have a great week, everybody. Today we have a nice rainy day here.
All right. And you got us.
I'm excited. It's a good cooking day.
You got us out of a pickle this morning. Congratulations.
Uh-huh.
I'll speak to you next week.
Have a great week, everybody.
Take care. Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com on the web. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Groceries on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.